Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. We live in troubled times. It's Mark Levine reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. Got two stories today. Very different stories, I admit. Kind of depends on which tragedy you want to talk about. The first one I want to talk about is Wall Street, which has gone through some terrific gyrations due to China. Now, the good news is, and this is good news, that so far, if all holds clear, we appear, at least today, to be out of the woods. I'm going to do something I rarely do. I'm going to be watching the market as we speak and telling you if the market collapses. Yesterday, for those of you who have money in the market, you know, as I do, that everything was fine till just about 3 p.m. And then the entire market collapsed and dropped about, 2, 3, 4%. Major, all in an hour. Everything looked okay, and it got really ugly. So I will report that to you if it happens. But the good news is we seem to be doing okay as of now, as of 3:07. And I want to talk about what causes these gyrations and what, if anything, the government can do to stop it. Then, well, in my neck of the woods, or at least in my home state of Virginia, tragedy today, although I never know whether we should call these things tragic. To me, a tragedy is like Hamlet. It's sort of a case of good people trying to do the right thing and still ending up in the wrong place. This is more evil, I think. Two journalists on an on-air interview in Southwest Virginia, busy interviewing some local official, were shot during a live broadcast by apparently someone who used to work at their TV station. Reporter Allison Parker and Adam Ward, cameramen, were killed. Apparently, and this, I guess, would go down in a Hollywood movie, the camera was shooting and then the cameraman was shot. And, well, the video falls to the ground. Pretty graphic images, including one apparently taken by the killer himself as he points a gun at one of the victims. As usual, I'm going to not say the killer's name. I don't believe in making the killer into any kind of public figure, at least as much as I can help it. I realize others will. For all of you gun nuts out there, I want you to know that this took place outside. It was not in a gun-free zone. And no, the journalists were not wearing body armor. Because most of us who go outside to live our daily lives don't wear body armor. Indeed, the only ones other than police and military who tend to wear body armor are killers themselves. We don't know yet how he got the gun, but we do know that it's far too easy to get a gun in Virginia. So those are my two topics today. They're both grim topics, but I plan to end both on a happy note. The happy note is that at least as of today, the market is up. Though I want to talk about, well, why it's gone through these gyrations. And the happy note is that I at least plan to work very hard in the Commonwealth of Virginia to reform Virginia's gun laws. If you want to call in on either topic, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Let's start with Wall Street. So everything was humming along pretty well. The unemployment rate is the lowest unemployment rate since President Obama became president. Inflation is extraordinarily low. Indeed, we are, if anything, we fear deflation. When Ronald Reagan ran against Jimmy Carter, he coined a phrase called the misery index to describe the unemployment rate plus the inflation rate. And he said it had gone up under Jimmy Carter. Well, now the unemployment rate is 5.5%, well under what it was when George Bush was president, when he turned it over to Barack Obama. Inflation is close to zero. This may be the lowest misery rate we've ever had. Thanks, Obama. Unfortunately, the rest of the world didn't do what President Obama and the Federal Reserve did in the United States of America. Any economist will tell you, and I do have a degree in economics from Harvard, don't often mention it, but given I want to show you that I do know somewhat what I'm talking about. An economist will tell you that when the macroeconomy, when a nation's economy goes sour, you have to stimulate the economy. And there are two ways to do that. One is by government spending. Yes, that awful thing, government spending, that Republicans claim to hate whenever a Democrat is president, though they love to do it when one of their own is president. And the other is through the Federal Reserve, which lowers interest rates to increase the money supply. In this case, the Federal Reserve lowered interest rates to zero and then went beyond zero by doing something called quantitative easing, basically putting money into the hands of the American people by buying up government bonds. Printing money, the kind of thing that makes Ron Paul acolytes turn red. Well, it worked. The United States is by far the strongest economy on earth. And for all the other countries that we worried about, Japan, Europe, China, well, lately, the thing that people are most concerned about is China. China is beating us. You can hear Donald Trump say these things. China is cleaning our clock. They're beating us economically. They are now the second largest economy on earth. That's true. The U.S. has always been first. Well, first throughout my lifetime. First, really, since the end of World War II. For a while, Japan was second. Now, China's second. And people feared. After all, it's more than a billion people. 1.2, 1.3 billion now. That's a lot of people. They're smart people. They're hardworking people. And their government is a dictatorship. And the communist dictatorship of China, we feared, was going to beat us capitalistically. Well, the Chinese government failed immensely in their task of propping up their stock market. We'll talk about exactly what they did and what they did wrong and compare it to what our Federal Reserve did right. And at the end of the day, the upshot is that the United States is the one country on the planet with an excellent economy. Just as all of our neighbors, all of the developed countries, Europe, Japan, China, are all suffering. Thanks, Obama. And because our economy is doing so well, unfortunately, because the rest of the world didn't do what we did and isn't acting fast enough to do what we did, their economies are falling apart and dragging ours down with it. And the collapse of the Chinese stock market is what caused those nasty gyrations in your and my 401k and in our stock portfolios. So what did the U.S. do right? What did China do wrong? And what do I see for the future? I'm going to share it with you. I don't often do a stock business type show. It's not really what I do. I do politics. And I should be careful to disclose that, you know, I have positions in the stock market. I think they're all long positions. So, yeah, I want the market to go up. So I'll just be clear about that. But at the end of the day, I think it should go up because precisely our economy is so much stronger than the rest of the world. Let's review again what Barack Obama did in the midst of the greatest recession since the Great Depression, the George Bush recession of 2008 and 2009. In the George Bush recession of 2008 and 2009, we had a financial panic, frankly, the greatest financial panic since 1929. And basically, we didn't have enough money in the system because a few players on Wall Street bet a ton of money on fancy things called credit derivative swaps. Basically, they bet on other people failing and other people failed. And they sold things to people that they did not understand. and recognize they were bad goods and bet against the things they sold. All of this, by the way, perfectly legal, because the Republicans, and to some extent Bill Clinton, got to say the truth, but mostly the Republicans in Congress, overturned Depression-era laws like Glass-Steagall and others, including some that, like the bucket shop law that dated back more than 100 years, laws that were supposed to protect the American economy and the world economy from having one player so big that they dragged the entire market down. Thank God the Dodd-Frank law co-written by my former boss, Congressman Barney Frank, has played a good role in putting some of those protections in place. They're not all in place. Ask Elizabeth Warren sometime about why we need a new Glass-Steagall Act. But basically, the economy fell apart, and President Obama tried two things. He tried, first of all, a stimulus, fiscal stimulus. He spent a lot of money. And for those of you that complain about, oh my God, it cost $1 trillion back in 2009, 2010, I should note that the deficit now is about $450 billion, or way lower than it was under George Bush. Indeed, President Obama has reduced the deficit year after year after year, greater than any other president, with the possible exception of Bill Clinton, who took us from a deficit to a surplus. Much, much lower year after year after year from George Bush's final year in office. And I could say he did it through magic or through being a great guy. Really, he did it because our economy did it. Because the best way to reduce a budget deficit is to grow a nation's economy, right? Fewer people need unemployment checks. Fewer people need food stamps. More people pay taxes. Of course, part of the problem is in this country, we have too much going to the 1%. So what that means is that they're paying a lot more in taxes, while too few people in the middle class are making out. But overall, the nation's economy is humming along. And the Federal Reserve printed money. Again, the kind of thing that makes Ron Paulites crazy. They want our dollar based on gold. They don't want the government to print money. Well, thank God they did. Thank God they lowered interest rates to zero, and quantitative easing went from 1 to 2 to 3. In doing so, what did they do? They weakened the dollar, which caused exports to be better in America, caused interest rates to be low, so you can buy that car or buy that house, and it helped prime the nation's economy. And indeed, one of the reasons why we're having these gyrations is the Federal Reserve is finally taking its foot off the pedal. It's finally suggesting that interest rates are not going to be zero anymore. Now, after the gyrations of the stock market, they're going to stay zero, I think, way through September. But as the Federal Reserve released its power, its monetary printing, to simplify it, a lot of Americans got scared we would go back, and that caused a big gyration. That plus what China did. I'm going to talk about what China did when we come back. If you want to call in on this issue or the gun issue, which I'm also going to talk about in the second half hour, give me a call, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back after this.
He's a Fulbright scholar, and he speaks French, but he couldn't tell you who won the Super Bowl. It's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. I can give you better news. At least as of 3:24 p.m., the market is staying up. Yesterday, by 3:24 p.m., it had already started declining after being up pretty far and then just went through the floor. One of the reasons why the market tends to go or went through the floor yesterday is something called pattern training. Basically, a lot of people use computers. In fact, some say that half of all trades in the market are done by computers, done by people who put in their orders way ahead of time And the computers do all the work through sometimes some complex algorithms. And sometimes it just sort of, it's like a trigger. And then it gets worse and worse and worse and worse. And then it all falls to the floor. Today, it's getting better and better. In fact, I think the market is at one of its highs of the day. Hallelujah. So that doesn't mean it's high. It's still much lower than it was before. But I think people need to understand why we're in this case and understand that it has absolutely nothing to do with U.S. policy. It has to do with policy by a government that tried to control its economy the wrong way. President Obama did it the right way. He did it through fiscal stimulus. He did it through monetary stimulus. China did it by buying up shares in its stock market. China, of course, is trying to be a capitalist country, but of course it's not a democratic country. So the government has a lot of power. And if there's one bit of stock advice I would give you, it's do not buy any shares of Chinese stock. I don't own any shares of Chinese stock, and I don't because I don't trust them. I don't know that they're telling me the truth. It's not, you know, you want to buy stock in England and France and Germany, Australia, Japan, you know, some democratic country, it's one thing. But China, I don't trust. And what China did to try to build up wealth is it introduced its people to a stock market. And they did really what's a classic, I guess, a Ponzi scheme, or a better example would be a bubble. In fact, this even happened in Holland in the 17th century. What happened is people started liking tulips, and I guess it was a bad season, so they started bidding up tulips. And then other people bought tulips because everyone else was buying tulips. And the people who didn't care about tulips bought tulips because they knew they could sell it at a higher price because it kept going through the roof. And then the last person who paid way too much for the tulips probably threw himself out a window as the price of tulips collapsed. That's true of all kinds of bubbles. Basically, when people stop buying based on what something means, you know, a share of stock is supposed to represent a certain value in the company, how much money the company is going to return in dividends or go up in stock price over the next few years, and instead just buy it up because everyone else is buying it up. That didn't happen here in the United States. It did happen in China. And you found the market basically double in just a few months. Markets shouldn't double in a few months. If a market doubles in a few months, it means either it was grossly underpriced to begin with, or more likely you're in a bubble. And the bubble, like all bubbles, collapsed. And the Chinese government did exactly the wrong thing. They tried to prop up the stock market. They bought shares and shares and shares and shares and tried to keep it up at a certain level. And eventually that's going to fail because everyone knows or should know what's going on. And they're just basically selling their shares to the Chinese government. So the stock market collapsed in China. But China did do something yesterday that helped stabilize the market. They finally did the right thing. They did it our way. They basically decreased their interest rates, and they devalued their currency a little bit. And they did, in essence, kind of what our Federal Reserve did. They did it the Obama way. And there's still some pain in the Chinese economy, but I think it will stabilize, and I think we'll all be okay. So again, if you're wondering why the United States has such a strong economy and the rest of the world has gone the tubes, thanks, Obama. Way to go, Mr. President. When we come back, I want to switch topics. You're welcome to call in on this at 888-488-MARK, but I want to talk about the two journalists gunned down in Virginia today in my home state and what I plan to do about it as delegate. This is Mark Levine. Be right back right after this.
Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. These stories are getting familiar. They're getting common. It seems like it happens every day, and indeed, it does happen every day. The shooting in Virginia of two journalists in Southwest Virginia in open daylight is hardly an unusual occurrence. Oh, I guess it's unusual that it was two journalists in broad daylight. But just this week, and there was a triple shooting in D.C. Just a day after or a day before, some young Senate aide was gunned down in the prime of his life. It's far too easy for dangerous or insane people to get guns. Now, I'm just waiting for people to call in, and yes, I welcome everyone calling in, including those of you who love your guns at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. But before we talk on the phone, I want you to hear me, gun owners. I am not opposed to responsible gun owners. I'm opposed to irresponsible gun owners. And responsible gun owners should also not want dangerous or insane people to own guns. Why would you ever want someone with a history of felony convictions for gun violence to own a gun? Why would you ever want someone on the terrorist watch list to own a gun? Why would you ever want someone who'd been declared dangerously mentally ill, violently, criminally insane, to own a gun? Why would you want that? I have never found anyone explain to me why it's good to give a terrorist like the guy on the French train a gun. That also happened just last week. Every day, something happens. Now, I know what the NRA folks say, and I should actually, it's not even true, because it's only some of the NRA folks. So 75% of NRA people actually support background checks. 75% of NRA members, 90% of Americans support background checks. And yet the ones who are winning the debate, the ones with a majority in the Virginia delegation, unless the people of Virginia wake up and start voting these people out of office, they will tell you, no, 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 no. The answer is not fewer guns for those who are dangerous, for those who have a history of domestic violence. No. No, the answer is more guns. More guns. If only the cameraman had been packing. The problem is the cameraman didn't see someone going behind his back. He was busy doing his job, which was filming a woman on camera, and that required both his hands. He didn't have the element of surprise. He didn't know he'd be shot to death that day. I don't think his carrying a gun, and this was not a gun-free zone, folks, I don't think his carrying gun would have changed the situation one iota. And I don't know yet how the shooter got a gun. I don't know. We'll find out, I'm sure. What I do know is it's extremely easy to get a gun if you want one. You can be mentally ill, declared so by a court. You can be on the terrorist watch list. You can be convicted of beating and raping your wife or other women 10 times. And you want a gun? Just go on the internet. I want a gun, no questions asked. And people can sell you a gun, no questions asked. And the people that are willing to sell you a gun, no questions asked, have no liability for doing so. None. You want a gun? And you're, I don't know, a member of Al-Qaeda intent on murdering as many Americans as possible? And everybody knows it? Easy, just go to a Virginia gun show. Say, I'd like a gun, no questions asked, please. Death to America. And they will show you where you can get a gun, no questions asked. In fact, it turns out there's just a few gun shops that sell most of the guns that are involved in this horrific wave of violence. But you want to know which ones they are? No, 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 no. The Republicans in Congress have made sure that we're not allowed to report. They won't allow us the statistics to openly say, okay, it's this gun shop, that gun shop, because they know what we do. We would protest those gun shops. So we just have to find out case by case. I know there are going to some that say, Mark, you do a show on guns every day. And I do lots of shows on guns. And I do lots of shows on guns because lots of people are gunned down day after day after day. And I've already invited a guest on Friday, frankly, who's going to talk about gun-free zones and the hypocrisy of the Republicans and others who advocate for the right of insane terrorists to own guns. And you'll find out that when they have their gun shows, they forbid loaded weapons. That's right. The NRA forbids loaded weapons at their meetings. Not to mention all of the Republicans running for president. Why are they afraid of loaded guns? I thought they loved loaded guns. I thought they wanted more of us to have loaded guns. And if you want to know whether laws that keep people from owning guns actually lower gun crime, those that keep dangerous and insane people, we're never going to stop everyone from owning a gun in America. Although if we did, if we were like Great Britain or Australia, we would count guns in the single digits rather than in five digits, more than 30,000 a year dead at the hand of a gun. All we are asking, all liberals are asking, is not to take people's guns away if they're responsible, but to check to see if people have a history of violence before you give them a gun. In California, when I sold my house in California, we had to check and see what was wrong with the house and inform the people we were selling the house to exactly what was wrong with the house. Indeed, when you transfer over a dangerous poison or dog, many laws require you to find out who you're transferring it to before you do. Not so a gun. Not so a gun. If Osama bin Laden were alive today, walked into the room and said, I want a gun, no questions asked, and I sold him a gun at a nice profit, I'm off the hook. Oh, I didn't know it was Osama. He didn't tell me he was Osama. Of course, Osama's dead. So, I guess the head of ISIS, whomever it is right now. Why are conservatives so determined to get guns in the hands of insane people? Why are they so determined to get violent felons their guns? One answer comes from a member of the Virginia General Assembly who said in our last session, he said of a Democratic-sponsored bill to prevent people with a history of domestic violence of being not just of hitting their wives, but of being convicted of beating their spouses. He said of that bill, now they, meaning the Democrats, want to take away my gun just because I slap around my wife a little bit. I'll get the exact quote. I may be paraphrasing. We have to keep this debate up. We cannot give it up. 90% of Americans support background checks. 74% of NRA members support background checks. When I was in Colorado at the Western Conservative Summit, and you can watch the entire debate on my website at marklevinetalk.com, I asked, is there a single person here among the 5,000 conservative activists? These aren't just conservatives. These are activists. They pay money to join a big conservative gathering, the second largest in the country. How many of them want to make it easier for terrorists who are mentally ill and convicted of domestic violence to get a gun? And none of them raised their hand. So why do some in government, a small minority of Americans, but the majority in the Virginia General Assembly, why do they oppose background checks? Universal background checks. The ones that are not just for the licensed firearm dealers, but for the 40% of guns sold on the internet or at gun shows or between two strangers in a parking lot. Why do they oppose it? They'll tell you, no, no, no. If you do that, the next thing you're going to do is you're going to take away all our guns. Slippery slope, right? It's kind of like saying, no, I don't support a tax on tobacco of 1 cent, because if you put a tax on tobacco of 1 cent, next thing you know, you'll put a tax on of $1 million. So I can't support an increase of 1 cent. Or if you lower the drinking age from 21 to 18, the next thing you know, you're going to lower it to 5 and then to 1. You see how slippery slope arguments work. We can't give 18-year-olds the right to vote, because next thing you know, we'll get 16-year-olds, then 12-year-olds, then 10-year-olds, then soon babies will be voting. No. The slope ain't that slippery. If you believe that terrorists shouldn't own guns, but you still want responsible gun owners to own guns, that is a fine position to have. But don't claim that you are against gun laws that make it harder for terrorists to own a gun because you're worried about us taking away your gun. Unless you're a terrorist, unless you commit crimes of domestic violence, you have nothing to fear. It's Mark Levine, 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. We'll be right back after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. On the first story, I'm proud to say that the market is staying up. Let's hope it stays up in the last 10 minutes, but we're not having another day like we had the last 3 or 4 days. On the gun issue, I want to make it harder for dangerous or insane people to own guns. I want universal background checks. So do 90% of my fellow Americans. So do 75% of NRA members. Because most NRA members are responsible gun owners, and they don't want terrorists or people with a history of violence, people with a history of domestic violence, dangerously mentally ill people, they don't want them to have guns either. So why doesn't it get through? Well, ask your local politician that. Let me ask Jeff from Arizona on line two. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Good. Well, yeah, I'm good. I'd say a different kind of angle comment on this situation is we have lived in a culture of death because we have legal abortions. And because
you're telling me that two journalists died in Virginia today because we have legal abortions?
Well, because we don't care about life. We dismember children. Babies.
Well, I'll tell you something.
Boys and girls.
According to the news, the killer, and I don't know if this is true, but the killer was upset by the racist killer who went into a Charleston church and shot a bunch of people. And he wasn't doing it based on abortion either, was he?
I don't know what his motive was.
I do. He had a Confederate flag. He had a Confederate flag, and he told his friends he wanted to kill black people.
Right.
Did that have anything to do with abortion? I don't think so.
It's connected in a different way. It's that we allow this culture of death to spread over America. And I'm saying most, those of us like myself and others, we don't believe that.
Do you
but
believe
those
that,
that participate in it spread that kind of horrible evil.
Do you believe in restricting guns on people who have a history of gun violence?
How are you going to do that, sir?
Universal background checks. I'm going to say that if you sell,
you don't need universal background checks because we have background checks.
We don't have universal background checks. If you want an AK-47 and you're on the terrorist watch list and you've committed 20 gun felonies and you've been declared mentally insane by a court, you just go on the internet and you get yourself an AK-47. Should that be legal? I say no. What do you say?
Look, it shouldn't be legal, but you're
okay,
not
so you will support then if I write a law and I'm going to be a delegate in Virginia in January. You're in Arizona, but you would support a similar law in Arizona to say that you can't sell a gun over the internet because you can't unless you do a background check.
No, you can't restrict.
Okay,
no.
So you want the terrorists to own guns? That's fine, but just be clear that you are supporting ISIS. Because you want ISIS members in the United States to have access to AK-47s. I don't. I don't want to see terrorists have access to
AK-47s.
They're
going to get the guns.
You do.
They're going to, listen to me, they're going to get the guns.
They are?
Not legally, but illegally.
Well, then why don't they own tanks, sir? Why don't they own tanks? Because I got to tell you something. We have laws against the transfer of tanks. And if you think those laws aren't working, tell me why we haven't seen more tank murders in the United States. I would say we don't see them because we don't allow tanks to be sold privately.
Okay, you and I both know right now we can say this is the truth. The way the Senate and the House are made up right now, you're not going to get a gun law, even a peep of a gun law. So forget it, Obama. Don't try it.
Don't try it because you don't give a damn about these people dying. You care about a bunch of embryos, but you don't care about two journalists shot down in cold blood. You don't care about eight people praying in a church and murdered. You don't give a damn about them. You just want to go out and save some embryos. I find that inhumane. I think you should care more about the people who are living here.
I care about living and unliving.
Well, then why won't you join with me in saying that terrorists and insane people and people with a history of violence should not be able to easily buy a gun? Why won't you support universal background checks?
Look, you're not going to get some people are going to seep through and are going to get through no matter what background checks.
Okay,
you
so let's say this. Let's say the background checks only stop 90% of the murders. Heck, let's say they only
stop
90. Okay, let's say they stop 10% of the murders. If they stop 10% of the people who die from gun crimes, that's 3,000 people. That's the same number of Americans that died on September 11th. We could save 3,000 people next year, and you're not going to lift a finger to help me to stop it? What if it was your son or your daughter?
It depends on what kind of background checks you're talking about.
I'm talking about the same background checks they require of licensed firearm dealers. They should be done in all private sales too. It takes on average 56 seconds to do a background check. And for those 56 seconds, you can save a bunch of lives. And I stopped at a traffic light today for longer than 56 seconds.
So what's the difference between the background check if I go into a store?
Right.
And they run my name through the FBI.
Right.
What's the difference between that one and the one you want to do? Give me that.
I want the exact same one.
Well, we have that one.
We have that when you walk into a store. We don't, but we don't have it, sir, when you go on the internet. Okay, I don't think you should be able to.
You're not going to regulate it. You're not going to be able to regulate the internet because the internet is global. It's not going to happen. Sorry.
Well, you know, it's really hard for me to go to Syria and get a gun, but it's very easy for me to go to Arizona and get a gun. So I'm not really worried about ISIS terrorists.
Arizona is very, very liberal. You could carry a gun in a holster and walk down the street. So,
that's true. And do you think it's a good idea to allow someone on the terrorist watch list who says death to America, I want to kill as many people as possible? Do you think it's good that that person can walk to a gun show in Arizona and say, I want a gun, no questions asked, and no one has to ask any questions? Is that a good thing? Or should Arizona change its laws and require all sales of guns to have background checks? That's my question.
You're just using extreme, a very extreme.
Am I? Am I? Because the killer in Charleston said, I want to kill black people. Well, let's talk about a domestic terrorist, the one that went into Charleston. He said to his friend, I want to kill black people. Okay, that's what he said.
Oh, this guy's mentally ill.
Okay, but you would give him a gun. You would give him a gun. I would. That's where we differ. You would hand that man a gun. Would you?
I'm not going to. There's still going to be a few that are going to get through, and you cannot sacrifice.
And you're fine with it.
Cannot sacrifice.
You're fine with it. You're fine with giving these dangerous people guns.
Our right to carry. We can't sacrifice.
How does it sacrifice your right, sir? If you're not out to murder anyone, it doesn't sacrifice any of your rights, right? If you go and you pass a background check because you don't have a history of gun violence and you're not on a terrorist watch list and you're not mentally ill, it won't affect you, sir. What are you complaining about?
I'm partly agreeing with you, but like you want to do is the gun shows and then the internet, and then you just want to, and then you want to register every gun.
Well, no, wait. All I'm asking for is universal background checks. You said you partly agree with me. Can you and I agree at least that we should have universal background checks, just like the ones in the firearm stores?
I could partly agree with you.
You can probably agree with you there. All right. I got some agreement. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. It took me a little while, but I got that agreement out of you. Folks, if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at Mark Levine Talk. My website is marklevinetalk.com, and I will talk to you tomorrow.